Yesterday, Jack and I visited Bangor together. It was the University Open Day, and we left really early in the morning, crack of dawn, where you're not awake enough to think about, you know, anything other than the fact that you're driving, for about 3.5 hours. And we had a great day looking around Bangor University, and on the way there, I woke Jack up about 30 minutes before we arrived. Jack, you've got to wake up, we can see the mountains now. And there was snow all along our left as we drove along the north coast of Wales, and it was just beautiful, beautiful. And then we had our brilliant open day and visited, you know, different bits of the uni and looked around the accommodation and checked that you can stand up in the shower and complicated things like that, and got inspired about the learning that might take place and the research that was going on, and really got into it. And it was time to come home, and there was two choices. You could go back the motorway, get home quick, you know, I'm aware that I'm doing this today and the week didn't go as planned, and just think, oh, and, or I could go by the mountains. And I just couldn't hit the motorway. I couldn't do it. I just, everything in me, and I was like, yeah, we've got to go by the mountains. Like, yeah, come on, let's do it. So we drove back through Snowdonia, and took longer, and it was amazing and brilliant and lovely, and I was like a child, wasn't I? Just to tell you, if you ask him. There's a sense this morning that there's something prophetic in that for us. We know about mountains, we know about motorways, and we know about learning, but there's actually something more this morning. There's, we're doing the journey of a lifetime at the moment, the journey of being a disciple. We've done follow and fish, and we've done our Kairos moments and our repent and believe circle, and we've thought about our identity, and we've tried to absorb what it really means to be, you know, a child of God and to have that identity as a member of his family. And as I was driving home through the mountains, I said, I know mountains, but just the challenge that actually, you know, you can see mountains or you can go through mountains. You can, you know, you can go past and look on, or you can go in and up and further. And so, you know, what I'm going to say this morning, much of it won't be new to you, but I feel a real sense that God wants to just stop us for a minute and make us think beyond perhaps what we thought. Not with something difficult or complicated, but with something simple that isn't easy. And so that's sort of how I bring to you the next tool of discipleship this morning. It's not a difficult thing to understand, but it's a really important thing that's not easy to do. And so that's kind of where we come to this morning. So I've got a couple of funnies up here. Well, I hope you think they're funny. Me and Ruth thought they were funny. And we'll see if you can spot the link. The discipleship tool that we're looking at this morning is called Balance. So we're looking at Balance. Ruth, if you just want to have a look at the picture. And again. And again. Keep going. thank you. That actually isn't his pet, but it was too good not to put up that. So what's the obvious thing I'm pointing out to it?
A similarity, a likeness.
Yeah. So we take on the appearance of who we spend time with, people and their pets is the joke one. But also it said, isn't it, that, you know, people who spend a number of years together grow to look alike. Dean, you're all right for a while. we want to be taking on the appearance of Jesus. We want that, don't we? We want to look like Jesus. I want to look like Jesus. I know, you guys, you want to look like Jesus. When somebody looks at you, you want them to say, wow, that person spent a lot of time with Jesus. That's what we want, isn't it? That's what we're called to. That's what God is doing in us. So we're talking about balance today. And balance is represented... Oh, thank you. Sorry, I missed that one. Balance is represented by the triangle. and because we have these different shapes or tools to help us. So the tool for today is the triangle, and the triangle is about the different dimensions of our relational life. The different dimensions of our relational life, using the example set by Jesus, hoping to become like him in our relationships and how we relate to people around us. If you turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 12, we're going to take our example from a brief summary of how Jesus acted. I've stolen your Bible now.
Oh.
So Luke chapter 6, verse 12. I'm just going to read to you 12 to 19. You can listen if you haven't found it, it's okay. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Tick. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Simon, who he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called Zealot, the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because the power was coming from him and healing them all. In this passage, we see the three different dimensions of a relational life, as we also can represent them in the triangle. We have our up relationship, our relationship that is with us and God. We have our in relationship, described in this passage by Jesus' relationship with the disciples who he walked with. And we have our out relationship. And I don't particularly like the term there, but that's the picture that comes with the tool. Relationship with the world. Let's call it relationship with not yet disciples, shall we? Because I'm a positive kind of a person. And actually, in terms of the triangle, I like to think of it a bit more like the three points of a person with eyes gazing up to God and arms reaching out. So this is me, and this is my head, and this is my left arm, and this is my right arm, as a triangle, gazing up to God, left arm, that's my right arm, reaching in, and left arm reaching out. And we're going to look a little bit just now at those three different elements, the three different dimensions of relationship, in order to understand them and in order to think about what it means to have those in balance and how we might be challenged in that way. So what does up look like? Well, Jesus went onto the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. Well, we could just move on at that point, couldn't we? Because that's sufficient of a challenge. I don't know how many of you have ever tried to, you know, pray through the night. I've done that sometimes when I felt like, oh, I can't sleep, so I'll just pray. And suddenly I'm asleep. I don't have the ability to pray through the night. But if that's indicative of what it means to have a relationship with God, I've got some growing to do now. I'm struck by, as I was thinking about what this means, I was again reminded of the verse, and I haven't looked it up, but the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. We're often very busy glorifying God, aren't we? Busy doing things that will glorify God, and need to balance that with our enjoyment of him. Gosh, yes. We've enjoyed God this morning, haven't we, together? Yeah. But actually there's a one-on-one where that needs to happen as well. It's not just here, that needs to happen on the one-on-one too. Jesus called his disciples to follow him with a clear implication of movement, not static conversation, just around a bonfire, but follow me where I go. Follow God, walk with God. That's different to just praying, isn't it? Something much more active about that. And we learn from scripture that what Jesus does is exactly what the Father tells him to do. Well, I don't know about you, but you know, when I'm making the lunches on a Monday morning, or help making sure that other people have made their lunches on a Monday morning, and doing breakfast and driving to school, I'm not really wondering what the Father's wanting me to do at that moment. I'm just doing the do of what I do. Mm. What would it mean to be, you know, fully in my up relationship with God through those moments? I've got a lot to learn. It's easy for us, I think, to reduce our relationship with God to our conversation with Him. You know, and much of our walk with God is typified by our conversation with Him, our prayer life with Him. But those of you who've got or had teenagers will know that if you measure your relationship with your teenagers by the amount of conversation, it could look sadly lacking and doesn't necessarily represent the reality. You know, what we are in our relationship with God is not the sum of the conversation that we have with Him. It's more than that. It needs to be more than that to genuinely be in relationship. Otherwise, it's just conversation, and it could happen outside of relationship. The relationship that we have with God should be based on the person that He is, not on what we need Him to do, or not on what He's done, or not on the gifts that He gives us, but actually enjoying the person of Christ, of God, enjoying the being that He is, not the doing that He does for us. And the expression of this relationship, you know, we could mind map it together and fill a wall in the room, because it will be individual. How we express that relationship is very individual, and we've experienced some of the ways that we enjoy that relationship this morning. We've sung, you know, I personally love car time on my own, and in my new job I travel monthly to Derby for a training day, and last month a mate who lives in Leicester, who's recently come on, so I said, oh, can you pick me up? And I said, yes, of course. I was gutted, because that meant I only had half the distance to sing and be with God in that, really enjoying His presence. So we sing, well, we read the Bible, I know we read the Bible, we pray, but we're listening for a still small voice, we're being in tune with the Spirit, we're walking in step, looking for what God's doing and looking to be involved there. All of those are expressions of this up relationship that we experience with God through our life. We listen to Him, we learn about Him, we study about Him. Those of you that have done KST or any other theological study, your relationship with God has been deepened through it. You've learned about Him in order to relate to Him more, with more reality and depth. Yeah. We also learn about Him through our relationship with others. And in a sense, it's a bit of a joke to look at these three dimensions in isolation, because that's just not really a thing. And, you know, you could draw a pretty picture on this, and it would mess up my later diagram, and I'll perhaps do it at the end for you, to make this look beautiful, to show the interconnection of these different dimensions of relationship, and I hope to perhaps do that at the end for you. It's true, I think, for all of us, that we have times when our up relationship is great, and times when it's just not a priority. We're not making it a priority. And I wanted to share with you an experience, a personal experience, of when my up relationship took a giant leap forward. And some of you will know about this, because I've got it out since it's happened with various ones of you. But last November, I went on what I thought was a business planning retreat. And I was all set for a business planning retreat, and I was going to plan my next year for my new business. And when I got there, I found out that it was a holistic retreat that kind of looked at your whole life and reviewed where you were and all different areas of your life and your walk with God. And I was just like, whoa. And I think I'm quite a willing and flexible person, but I was not ready for this. And it was like, God had a day on His calendar where He said, right, Maddie Norwich, that day, enough now, I want to be with you. And I was arrested by literally arrested by his presence. I felt like Moses in front of that burning bush. I was just like, get me out of here. In fact, I nearly came home. That's how scared it was. That's how scared it was. Scary it was for me, and how afraid I was. I was unprepared, and and it was like God had been waiting for an opportunity to be with me, not just talk to me, but be with me and show me some things about myself and talk to me. It's like he had a lot of things to say. He'd been waiting, obviously, for quite some time, and I've not experienced the level of being with him that I had, that he wanted to bring to me that through that experience. So some of the things that God wanted to say to me, he said to me directly. I heard him speak to me. Some of the things he said to me through scripture. And in fact, whilst I was there, I'd taken other reading material, because I was going on a business planning retreat, so I took some business, planning material resources to help you manage your time well and da-da-da-da. And I couldn't read them. All I could read was the Bible. I would try to read them and they didn't make sense to me, and I just had to give up and go back to reading scripture. It was all I wanted once I was in this place where God had got me. All I wanted was to be with him, to squeeze all the juice out of that really precious time that he set aside for me. And I came away from that retreat knowing that I'd been with God in a different way to how I'd been with God for quite some time. In fact, I felt so different that I couldn't even go straight home, and knew I needed to pause and to think about what this meant for me and to work that out. I needed time to process. So that's a little imagine of what in looks like. I perhaps should have labelled these.
Thank you.
Excellent. Good listening. And that's a little imagination of what up looks like and what it looks like for me and what it might look like for you. Let's move on to think about in. If we go back to scripture in Luke 6, Jesus calls his disciples to him in the morning when he'd finished praying all night. And he was all set for a busy day ahead, doing what his father called him to, but he called people to him and he chose 12. And here we see a context for in, which is in the light of up. He spent all night praying, and then he called team around him. It wasn't just that he had a good night's sleep and then he called a team, it was that he spent all night praying and then he called a team. So his relationship to his disciples were clearly in the context of his relationship with his father. They weren't in isolation to or separate from, but very closely together with. So spent the night praying, chose 12 of them and designated them to be apostles. And what we learn from this is actually Jesus had close friends who he shared life with. We read the Gospels and we hear about them eating breakfast on the beach and going fishing together and taking a boat ride together and escaping crowds together. You know, it's all there. They shared life together. Their in relationships were in the midst of life. They didn't go to a hut somewhere at the bottom of the garden to see each other and have their life together in that place. They had it in the midst of life. They shared that life together. They were more than friends, of brothers, they were his followers. Ate with them, debated with them, had some great banter with them, I'm sure. Jeff Cameron, that was for you. But Jesus was honest with them. In fact, he was so honest with them at times that they couldn't understand what he was going on about. And I'm sure that there are those of us in this room who've got good friends who we sometimes talk to and we know that we're not making sense to them, but they let us speak because they know that we need to say what we're saying. It might not make sense to them and they might not understand it, but it's about choosing to get out of me what's in into a relationship. And that's really precious. If you've experienced that, and I'm sure we have, that opportunity to share what's in me out with someone else is really important, and Jesus modeled that for us. right from creation story, one of the first things that God shows anything less than delight in is the fact that Adam was alone. We're not supposed to be in isolation alone. We are made for relationship, and Mark preached on that in Derby, and you can listen to that. He'll do a better job than I can sum up now. But we're not designed, created to be alone. We're created to be in relationship with other people. And whenever Jesus sends his disciples out, he doesn't send them out alone. He sends them together. Even if he just sends them to fetch a donkey, he sent two of them. You can look that one up in Matthew 21 later. And the quality of our in relationships, our relationships with each other, is actually what Jesus identifies as supposed to be our most significant witness. By this you'll know that they're my disciples. Their love one for another. That was the identifying marker that all of the people from Judea to the coast of Tyre and Sidon, that was the identifying marker that they would see that would enable them to identify these people as the disciples of Jesus, was their love one for another. We practiced our in relationships a little bit last week when we delivered flowers. Nobody went alone. Did you notice that? We went in teams. Yeah. But we, thanks for that. Great. We went together. But, you know, and we went with a friend. We went with people that we knew, or we went with people that we didn't know. And I remember, you know, some of the groups were with people they worked with all the time. Karen and Debbie went together, and Kristen, you went with Liz, not somebody that you necessarily know better by the end of it.
A little bit
better by the end of it. We're developing our in relationships. We're walking out this life together, so that we're practicing actually our in relationships, developing our vulnerability, living our life together. I'm sure many of us have got people that we've shared life with over time, and I wanted to share with you another couple of points from my story in November, because yes, I had this amazing, touching, arresting experience with God, but also it wasn't just between me and God, there were other people there, which was awkward, and in fact there were other people there that God used to say things to me, which was even more awkward, because they were things that actually God was saying, and he said them through someone else. And we've had a family joke as a child that sometimes everybody needs Jesus but with skin on. My parents would always, my dad particularly, would always try to be Jesus with skin on for other people. I love that. I didn't have that in the notes, Jenny, but what happened at this retreat was somebody actually said something really hard to me, and somebody who doesn't really know me very well, to be honest. And in the context of our in relationships, we have a choice, don't we? We have a choice. I could have taken offence and brushed it off and pretended that this person didn't know what they were talking about. I could have done that. It would have been, well, understandable. I can say that. But I didn't. I chose to hear what this person said to me because I recognised it to be from God. And even though it was less than ideal for me, because this person doesn't know me very well, and I didn't want to really be doing this kind of a retreat without Mark there, it felt weird, and I was having to stand on my own 2 feet, literally, and it was difficult, it was really difficult, and I can't explain it now in a way that is honest enough for you to understand, but it was really difficult what this person said to me, but I knew that it was God, and so our in relationships are as much about responding to God as they are about responding to each other. And so we begin to see that there's a massive overlap again between these up and these in relationships. And one of the things that God really spoke to me about at that time that I had to really work out was in about my in relationships. And I realised that, or I saw, cold as day, the fact that I didn't always say what I really thought, because I would have a tendency to be very mindful of other people around me, and I would anticipate how this is going to unfold, and I would tweak what I might say in order to fit better with what I assumed would be the outcome. You can probably hear how twisted that sounds, but that was quite a revelation to me, that I wasn't actually contributing my full self into the relationships that I had, because I was accidentally, I would like to add, being dishonest about what I really thought, because I was trying to anticipate and manipulate. I wasn't really giving of myself fully into those relationships, because I was trying to just figure it out in advance and, yeah, be nice. Thanks. Is that what you said? Be nice. Okay, thank you. That's kind. That was really hard. That was about, you know, my in relationships. Am I really being me? And am I really being present 100% in my life so that others can really know me? I wasn't. That was a real challenge for me. Okay, our third dimension is out. Over here, my left arm. If we go back to our story, Jesus has prayed all night. Brilliant, he's good at that. We can use his role model. He's gathered people to him, a team that he wanted to work with, that he shared life with, that he knew, that they knew him together, they knew each other. They probably said some hard stuff to each other, and they got over it and still loved each other. And he took them out. And so what does out look like? Well, out looks like doing what God has called you to do, reaching out, being the arm that reaches out to a dying and suffering world, to all those people, all those not yet disciple people. Out looks like reaching them. It looks a lot like in. It looks a lot like in, but visible to people who aren't yet in. It looks a lot like what people experience when they encounter you and your mate. It looks a lot like when people, I don't know, spend time with Yvette and Amber after they've been praying together. It looks like that. It looks like somebody walking past the door when we're worshipping God and having a conversation with them later in the car park. It looks like praying for five and looking for an opportunity to bless each of them. It looks like maintaining your up so that when you're standing at the coffee machine at work or wherever it might be, God can speak to you about the person you're standing next to. It looks like the kind word about somebody's pretty top. It looks like the reason, an opportunity to make someone else smile. It looks like sharing what you've learned about God this week. It looks like sharing your challenges and your hardship and how you trust God to help you with those. Yeah. It looks like revealing the love of the Father that you've experienced to somebody every day, in any situation, at any time. It looks like having genuine relationships with people who don't know God and letting them glimpse a little bit of your up and a little bit of your in. It looks like praying for the sick, as we've done this morning. It looks like praying for salvation, that we've done this morning. In my story of last November, one of the ladies who's on the retreat isn't a Christian at all. And I was quite surprised that there was quite such a strong spiritual element to our weekend away, because we're not primarily set up as a Christian business, although very much looking to uphold those values in everything we do. It looks like her encountering me in a right old state and seeing God bring me through and what that's done to her. And I have probably more of an in relationship with her because of it than out, but that's part of God drawing her in. It looks like you can't quite categorize it. You can't put a finger on it. So if I haven't said your thing that you think, well, that's what out looks like for me, that I can't imagine it all, and you've caught what I can imagine. Many of you will have received a letter through your door from me over the last year, because you know I've been looking to buy houses. And one of the funny things about this is, as an out, I was going to tell you about this as an out, because lots of the people that have phoned my number to find out if I would like to buy their house have Googled me. And so they get lots of letters through their door from people asking to buy their houses, and they Google them. And most of the ones that have said this to me, they don't call the other ones. And they call mine because they find out what they find when they Google me. They find out about volunteer work. They find out about faith. They find out about church. And that gives them the confidence to call. Well, that's out in a way that I never planned or hoped for. I couldn't have imagined that as an outcome, but that's out. So we've talked through these different elements, and we need to think about, we've talked them through sort of in isolation as much as anyone can, because they just don't stand alone. But what does it mean? Why is it called balance? What's the point of calling it balance? And that's what I want to think about just briefly before we come to an end. Balance in this context is not about quantity. It's not about, well, I spend 6 hours a week with God, and I have 6 non-Christian friends and 6 Christian friends, so I'm all good, I've got balance. It's not about that, just to clarify. I'm sure you probably got that. But it's about quality, and it's about depth, and it's about growth, and it's about things that are really tricky to measure. It's only ever going to be your gut feel. And in fact, it'll probably be very different tomorrow to what it feels like today and the day after. And it probably was very different a year ago to what it is now. At least I hope so. And it probably will be different again in a year. So it's not about having it perfect. It's a constantly changing balance. And we have an opportunity in keeping it balanced to live well relationally, to follow the example of Jesus. There's always going to be movement and change in the different aspects of our relational life. We can probably all identify a time when one aspect was brilliant. We can probably all identify a time when one aspect was really not so brilliant. We probably all have a default area of strength. And we probably all have a default area of weakness. So I want to just play with the triangle a minute and help you think about what that might look like. So this is my up relationship, this is my in relationship, this is my out, this is my gaze, and these are my arms. If my up relationship is in a really great place, then I might say, okay, I'm about here. If my in relationships are in, well, quite a good place, but I'm not really doing a lot with my out relationships, then my triangle. Pretty more. Can we see that? You can see that, yeah? I haven't got a piece of tissue paper to rub that off, so that was the first one.
Different colour maybe?
Yeah. If my... Oh, don't put those up, Ruth, it's fine then. If my... And maybe you recognise that that's a bit of you. You're up and you're in are pretty good, and you're out needs a bit of work. If my up is alright, and I'll work really hard at my out, but I'd end up not making a priority of my in, then again, the triangle is quite small. If I have balance in my relationship, then suddenly my triangle grows. Even if it's closer into the centre, even if it's a smaller triangle, it gets its maximum. We'll do a big one just so you can. If I have balance,
even if that triangle shrinks a little.
The area that it covers, if you like, if you want to think about it, the volume of my relational life, the quality of it, the depth of it, the growth in it, it's going to mean that God can do a lot more. If I'm strong in two, then actually we've learnt that they all overlap. So if I'm only strong in two, probably if I grow in my third one, the other two are going to become even stronger because they don't exist in isolation.
Yeah.
If I'm strong in my up relationship and I'm really strong in my in relationship, I should have loads to give out. I should be pushing out in order to be functioning in all of those areas of life that God's called me to. If I'm great at talking to people, my out relationships, I'm always, you know, chatting about God over the coffee machine at work, or I'm praying for my neighbours diligently, I'm practically working into, you know, whatever needs they have, that I have something to contribute into, and I've got great mates in church, but I'm neglecting my relationship with God. Well, I think we can all see that my in and my out aren't going to be as effective as they could be if my relationship with God was strong. Do you see how we use this tool? Okay, I was going to get you, I think Mark thinks this is a hard thing to do, it probably depends on what you're like, but this is up, in and out, and the challenge this week is to think about, see, what does my relational life look like? What's my strong dimensions? What are my weak dimensions? And actually, I think that God wants to bring us, can you put the circle up, Ruth? God wants to bring you to a, everyone's watching you, Ruth. Next slide. There we go. I want this morning to give you the opportunity to have a bit of a kairos moment in your thinking about your relational life. Where am I strong? Where am I weak? Where do I want to grow? Where do I need to see greater depth? Where is the quality of my relational life not where it could be? And to enable that to challenge you, observe, reflect, discuss, around Mark's lovely discipleship circle that I think we've all got notes on somewhere, and to take some time this week to really think about, okay, my relational life, where is it, and what is it that God's calling me to do about that. Mark's looking at me like I need to finish, which is very intimidating. Can I sum up and then...
You can sum up.
Okay, thank you. He's laughing. Chris is laughing. We want to be moving on. We want to be those people who take the journey home through the mountains and not on the motorway. We want to be lifting our sights. We want to be raising our level. I want to be raising my level of personal challenge. I'm not satisfied. I want more. And this is one way that we can reflect on where things are at right now in our life, and then we can take a moment to think about what we need to do to get further into God, more reflection of Jesus in my life. People looking at me and seeing Jesus. People looking at you and seeing Jesus in your relational life. So that's my encouragement to you this morning. Okay.
Brilliant. So I thought that was really good, and do you know what, we've pushed loads into this morning.
Yeah,
we just covered so much ground, but God's been with us.
Mm.
And actually, do you know what, I feel like this, we've kind of done this morning.
Yeah.
You know, and we start off enjoying God and delighting ourselves in Him, and then we end up praying for Ian, wasn't it, and other people, and then we're standing with these guys all over the place. Going, yeah, come on, God, we've lived that a little bit this morning in microcosm as we've done it together. And, God's calling us to live that out more. So let me just pray, and then we'll finish. God, we thank you for your presence with us today. We thank you that you are with us. Thank you we can walk with you, Lord. And our relationship can always go deeper with you, Lord. Yeah. And that as we do that, Lord, I love that image of the eyes looking up and the arms going to the left and to the right. And Lord, we want to be those kind of people as we reach out, Lord. So I bless us in the name of Jesus. I bless us that we would know a good relationship with you. We'd know walking with you this week. I bless us that we'd know the closeness of your presence and the sense of your voice speaking to our hearts. I bless us that we would think of each other, that we would get support and challenge from each other. I bless us that our relational life would be strong. And I bless us that as we encounter those people at home and at work and all the other places in our life, that they would see the life of you, God, within each one of us. I bless us that your spirit would be alive in us this week. Amen. Amen. Amen.